and actually creating transparency and honesty and healing around it, we avoid, and by that we enhance the actual pain and the wound. In the same way as not confronting someone, this is connecting to yesterday's conversation, like so many people will do backflips and will literally lie. Really honest, good people will lie to avoid creating conflict. Right. Conflict is not a bad thing. We need to go through conflict in order to speak truth.
Hello and welcome back to another episode of Soul Kissed. I am your host, Christiana. And today's guest is someone who I think has such a cool job, who I met while I was working at the Institute in Israel that I talk about so much. For those of you who don't know, essentially I was working at a coexistence institute in Israel for about a year, living with, working with Palestinians, Israelis, people from Europe, people from Africa, people from the States, all over the world. And given that there were so many people from so many different places, we naturally had a lot of workshops and had a lot of dialogue around our differences and how we are gonna live together, work together, do projects together, all these kinds of things. And they invited Maya Riemer, the guest that we have today. She is a participatory leadership facilitator. Participatory leadership, for those of you who don't know, it's also called the art of hosting. And what it's all about is bringing community members back into a space, whether that's workspace, so coworkers and bosses and that kind of thing, or even just other types of community, and learning how to work together in a more holistic, cohesive way that's more naturally aligned with how we humans are. And a huge piece of that for me when she came, that I feel like is really missing from a lot of aspects of our life, is learning how to close chapters. We as humans love starting things. I as an Aries can attest to this, like have so much energy and ideas and excitement about something new that I'm starting with people. But for whatever reason, we have a really hard time learning how to close things with grace and respect for the people that we've had involved, and learning how to have proper closure in important spaces or important relationships to us in ways that don't put us in sort of a shock. I'm super guilty of this. I feel like oftentimes I've put myself like a plant. When plants get repotted, sometimes they can go into a shock. And I don't know, for that for me shows exactly how all living beings have this issue. You know, it's such a natural thing. And I think that we as humans try to run away from the things because we're labeling them as like bad, or the feelings are heavy, so we're labeling it as a bad experience. But naturally, changing our environment, changing relationships, having big changes in our life like this are basically us being repotted like plants. And I think if we had more gentleness and knew how to approach these things differently, we would be able to navigate our world in a much more embracive way. I don't even know if that's a word, but I'm making it a word. We would embrace life way more differently and carry so much strength with us. So that's a bit about what we talk about on the show today. We're talking about how to close chapters in our lives with relationships or in the workplace, closing projects, and how to approach these things with more gentleness and compassion towards each other. So I really hope you guys enjoy. Maya is such a beautiful storyteller. And again, this is the first time I heard of the art of hosting. And if you guys are more interested in that, I can put a link to Maya's information in the description box, so you guys can check out her or her work. And yeah, with that being said, this is the episode. I hope you guys enjoy. Hello and welcome back to another episode of the Soul Kiss podcast. I am your host, Christiana Peric. I am here with Maya Riemer, who is a art of hosting facilitator, also known as a participatory leadership facilitator. Yeah. Maya, thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you for inviting me.
This is a super spontaneous episode.
I'm up for it. I'm interested.
I just want to share how I met you, because I really think that every time I meet someone that I end up interviewing, it's a super special way that I meet them. And for you, I got this new job here at the Institute, and you were leading a workshop for us and our team, mm-hmm. and you were the first person to introduce participatory leadership and the art of hosting to me. And I think we talked about this before, but when I got here, I was in a time where I was really like, what the fuck am I doing here? Yeah. Why am I here? Yeah. And you were a huge grounding force for me to like mm-hmm. bring me back and into this present moment and like really be like, okay, accept that I'm here and like, what can I do about it and how can I make the most out of this? So you were a very influential force
Thank
for me.
You. Yeah. Thank you.
And every time you come, it's such a treat. So I wanted to just, I don't know, I felt inspired today to have this episode because we talked this morning a lot about, I think a pattern for us in our discussions has been closing things. Mm-hmm. So without further ado, I don't know if you want to introduce like what participatory leadership is, what mm-hmm. you do, mm-hmm. and then we can get into
the good stuff.
Thank you. Thank you for having me on. So my name is Maya Reamer, and I'm an expert in participatory leadership, which basically means how do we do things together in a better way. It's about, for me, it's about working grassroots, so bottom up. It's about self-organization, working with chaos and order, what we call the chaotic path, and understanding better how to facilitate communities, groups, businesses, and all sorts of like humans, any group of humans really, to be able to work, to be more aware of the power structures and to work in a more transparent, inclusive, whole way. That's basically what participatory leadership is for me. If you're interested, I would advise you to Google Hero to Host. There's a beautiful article by Margaret Wheatley and Debbie Fries that really explains like the core of the what participatory leadership or art of hosting is. Mm. So the concept of hosting is this concept of when I'm working with a group, I'm not leading them. I'm not the boss of them. I'm not their commander. I'm not their queen. I am hosting, which means you can invite certain people, you can create the space, you can even throw out a question or a methodology. But at the end, whatever will happen depends on the people that will show up. Mm. And it's really like a different mindset to facilitation work, which really equalizes the power and shares responsibility, which is what I think more and more of us want to do in our communities.
Yeah.
And this is happening everywhere, whether it be in like in community work, whether it be in work, in like businesses. So high tech does a lot of like employer involvement and engagement. So in all the different fields, whether it's NGOs, humanitarian, whether it be business or state, like everybody needs to become more participatory.
Mm.
So that's the work that I do.
And so when you are... What I think is interesting is the different types of values and principles that you introduce to groups that you wouldn't really think would be involved with leadership. Mm-hmm. And which I think is a huge pillar of art of hosting, because it's a lot about like mirroring what happens in nature and like our natural thing, our natural processes as humans.
I'm so proud of you. You've done like 3 or 4 workshops and you're already so onto it. And I'm like, yes, that's true. We do.
And first of all, you saying like the participatory aspect, I think that's so powerful of how individuals can think of what their power is in any dynamic, because so often we look for this leader and we take this very passive role and we don't even think about what, even how we show up like in our energy,
how
it impacts others. It's insane.
Massive. This is a massive point and it's summed up in the sentence, we are the people we've been waiting for.
Hmm.
Like, khalas, enough with trying to give power to some politician, some hero, someone who's going to save us.
Right.
No one is going
right.
to save us.
Right. And I think that that's what humanity is evolving into understanding, because before we had this like heroes the hero,
yeah,
and the civilians that need the help.
Yeah.
And I think that part of what humanity is evolving into is understanding that everyone has their own hero's journey, mm-hmm. and everyone has those obstacles that they have to overcome. And it's so powerful, and it can be a painful process. It can be a very awkward and uncomfortable process. But
often is.
Yeah. But I think it's because we're in the middle of that awakening to that realization.
Whew. Yeah, I think a big part of that is also understanding process work. When we want things to be participatory, when we want to take responsibility, a part of that means that we need to step up.
Right.
And stepping up requires us to understand where we want to navigate to. And working together requires that I not only make the plan for myself, but that we agree on stuff together and that we're ready to shift and things are flexible enough.
Mm.
So process work and understanding different processes is extremely important in this participatory work. Also, often we create a lot of knowledge between us and then we try and find the threads, find the patterns.
Right.
Make sense making.
Right.
So a lot of the things that we work with in participatory leadership are like large group methodologies for like World Cafe, open space technology, stuff like this. And then different patterns of work like appreciative inquiry and different models and processes.
Mm.
So which brings me to the question that you invited me here to discuss around like closing.
Yeah.
And do you have a specific question?
Yeah, I have a couple. So I don't know if you'd intentionally weaved this in talking about the processes, because I think that this goes into exactly what I want to talk to you about, which is what I think is the hardest part of a process for humans to hold, which is the closing of things, whether it's like closing of chapters in our lives or closing of projects or relationships, whatever it is. And the first time I worked with you, this was like this was the one thing I took away from our first workshop together, because I realized why I was so ungrounded and not happy here was because I completely just Irish goodbye to everyone in Chicago. And I just did not close out that chapter in my life properly or with respect to the time and the space that was for me. And it put me in a shock. I was like a plant that was repotted and just in a shock coming here. So I want to hear what you have to say about that, about closing chapters, in how we can do that harmoniously while being in tune with ourselves, with the pain of it, and holding that.
For sure. So obviously never leave Chicago. That has to be the takeaway, right? We all need to move to Chicago and never leave it. So if I'm being serious, the work that I learned around closing, I learned from one of my favorite teachers and wonderful friend called Vanessa Reed. And she coined the term called conscious closure.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Nice.
So Vanessa talks about, and like we see this in many different patterns of humanity, is that as humans, we're very good at beginnings. We love beginnings. Babies are cute. We love falling in love. Startups are great, like accelerators and like all this, like, yay, beginnings. We're really bad at endings, breakups, deaths, leaving, Irish goodbyes. We're just, as people, it is unpleasant and it hurts. And so we try to avoid it, and it just creates really unbalanced processes.
Yeah.
And for a good process is usually a balanced one. And if you spend time building something and then you just cut it out in the middle, that is unbalanced, and that will not be a good, healthy way to close. So part of conscious closure is understanding that we want to give, to be conscious and aware and give attention and presence to closing, to endings. What that means is it looks different in every type of process. But first of all, it means be there. Show up. Understand
that. Show up for the pain of it?
Show up for the fact that this is happening. Show up for the people that you're leaving. Show up for the show up for, and like just a few examples to kind of show you. So one of the stories that Vanessa tells when she was like coining this and understanding it is when she stepped out of her work as CEO of an NGO, and someone else moved in. So imagine if every time a prominent member of an organization or a business left, we would see them through their goodbyes, not just raise a glass and buy a cake, but actually have meetings to close, have appreciation circles, speak about who the right person might be for to come into this job, and then welcome the next person as a community, as a business. Imagine what the new boss would look like if they had everyone in the company invested in a world cafe, just an afternoon of sitting together and asking, what should this person knows as she's coming in to run our company? And imagine how invested people would be, how much they would care more about her success. This is like very basic business,
right?
Like it should work. Another space that I can give an example is a beautiful piece of work that I had the pleasure of being a part of in Greece when I was volunteering in a refugee camp. And the organization that I was volunteering with, called Together for Better Days, one of its incredible founders and one of my best friends, Elena Mustaka, decided to take it through a conscious closure of the organization leaving the refugee camp that we had started. And that was incredibly powerful. So instead of just like the core team or the managers meeting the managers of the new incoming NGO, we did a whole process. So it starts by letting everyone know in a respectful and meaningful way, not having people find out. Then you speak to the different people. So we had a World Cafe, which is different tables and different meetings of people, of all the volunteers of the organization that's leaving and all of the volunteers of the organization that's coming in. So instead of just connecting at the top with lists and like to-do things, you're actually creating a field between the people who actually work daily with the different residents of the refugee camp. And then we had a community meeting with the residents, and we held their pain. We didn't just abandon them. We came in and we sat and we said, guys, we're leaving because of this and this and this, and we're sorry and we're gonna miss you, but we gave space to it, and we gave space to them to actually speak their emotions.
Do you think why part of that happens is because of guilt? Like people, like why people don't close out things is because of guilt? Because hearing that and reflecting on my own personal life, the amount of times that I've just left without explanation or without closing anything was because I felt too bad to like face the people I was leaving.
And what, not facing them is going to make them feel better or worse? Like, I don't get it.
Yeah.
I don't get it. I seriously don't get it. Okay, so I'm gonna be a bit controversial. And this also came up in the workshop we did here yesterday. I think North Americans feel that denying their emotions is a better way to deal with stuff many, many times. So if I feel guilt, instead of addressing that and actually going to the person that I feel guilty about and saying, like, I'm sorry I'm leaving, I'm gonna miss you, I'm sorry if you're hurting, and actually creating transparency and honesty and healing around it, we avoid, and by that we enhance the actual pain and the wound, the wound. In the same way as not confronting someone, this is connecting to yesterday's conversation, like so many people will do backflips and will literally lie. Really honest, good people will lie to avoid creating conflict.
Right.
Conflict is not a bad thing. We need to go through conflict in order to speak truth. But people will say to me, but someone might get hurt. Yes, we get hurt in life.
Yeah.
But we need to address these things to be whole, rounded human beings with healthy relationships.
And I think going back to what we were talking about earlier, that like this is again what leadership is, which is owning your part in this and like not playing the passive thing of like, oh, sorry, like I'm leaving, and just fading out into the background, because you don't want to hold the power of like holding that pain like with someone.
Yeah, we can call it leadership. We can also call it like just being a well-rounded human that can take responsibility for taking responsibility for what we create in the world is very environmental, and it's very sustainable. And it's not just sustainable in the way that I need to understand what plastic or CO2 emissions I make.
It's responsible.
It's responsible, but also what emotional, energetic, social waves or ripples does the way I act, does my behavior create? If you think of you leaving somewhere as a rock being thrown in a pond, like, what ripples has it created? Who is it affected?
Yeah.
And how can I take responsibility for, I don't have to take responsibility for everything, but for the things I choose to. Conscious closure for me means understanding the things very healthily and in a natural way will need to come to an end.
Yeah.
And being willing to accept that and being willing to not throw the hot potato away when it becomes hot and painful.
And what does that mean? How does that translate in terms of relationships when we go through breakups and when we leave someone? You yourself, when we were talking, I don't know if you want to share this, but like, you were just telling me that you had such an intentional process of like saying goodbye to like your previous partner. And yeah, so I don't know if there's any guidance that you have for people who go through that, who end those relationships.
Yeah, I feel guidance is a very strong word. I can share my thoughts. So let me get there from another direction.
Okay.
I want to share the story of when my mother died. It was 4.5 years ago.
Wow.
And dying is one of the things that are hardest for us to be with, but it happens. And I think the price of not being there with a loved one that is dying is much greater than the pain you go through when you are there. And not just there physically, but there mentally.
Yeah.
And like, I saw her grow weaker and smaller, and her space in the world getting smaller and smaller. And I felt her withdrawing, and I felt her close. And when we look at it from a process point of view, closing is like a triangle closing. It's like two...
A slow exhale.
A slow exhale, yeah. It's convergence. It's a convergence. And it might mean...
Big word points.
Second language, people. This is my second language here. So convergence means, when it's in a process, it means less and less people or less and less energy. When it's in life, it means slowly diminishing, dying. When it's in a relationship, it could mean seeing less of each other, or seeing each other but being less intimate. It could be like different things. But one thing that I've really learned is that the more gradual things are, the healthier they are. People think that like, oh, I know how to go cold turkey. Cold turkey is not the healthy way to do things. Irish goodbyes are not the adult conscious way, right? And I feel that with my mother, it was so powerful for me to witness that convergence of her life force. And I was able to be there and hold it with her. And I think it allowed me to release, and it allowed me a process that eventually made it much more bearable to live with the grief. So that's the one. The second, we've spoken about this quite a bit today. What today that I said caught your attention? What was it that made you want to like interview me about this?
I'm trying to think if there was one specific point that you had mentioned. I think the first thing that caught my eye was, first of all, that you had this partner that was equally conscious and equally aware of it with you, and you guys were both holding the space of like, we are gonna have this convergence and like this slow like peeling off of this. And you talking about it, I mean, like, yes, it's painful and owning it, but at the same time having this awareness of like, I'm going through this and I'm gonna let myself have a shit day and like cry about it and like hold that, and that's totally okay, because that's so normal for a human to go through, while not being completely sucked in by it and like and losing all this power to it. And I don't know if it's because of your profession that you have this like relationship with understanding what a closing is, but I think because people don't have the healthiest relationships with closing, it is such a traumatic time. Because you cut it off and sever it off completely, like immediately, because we're so afraid to feel the pain, and I think that makes it almost more intense.
Thank you for that. Thank you for like hearing me deeply when we spoke. So many things to say. So cutting things off. Okay, so we learn from nature, and we look at forests, we look at trees. When a branch in a tree is decaying and is done, then that part will wither away and drop, and that's natural.
Right.
And a forest will once a while have a forest fire in nature, and it will burn away the excess and the things that have died, and that will release minerals and vitamins into the earth, and it will clear away space for new seedlings, and it will clear the leaves of the trees above to allow more sun to come to create new. It's very natural. So that's one thing that really is really important to hold on to when we're experiencing loss.
Nature is such a good teacher.
Nature is an incredible teacher and incredible inspiration.
Yeah.
I also, like with my mother, I also really held on to this. This is like, kids bury their parents. It's the natural way.
Yeah.
I can deal with this, and I did. With relationships, I think that first thing is, and it's a bit ironic, I don't feel that I'm over this breakup. I'm still very much, this is why we discussed it today, because you asked how I was, and I was like, I have so much to say about this. Obviously, I'm not. So it's kind of funny to me that I'm allowing myself to pretend to give people advice on this. As, by the way, I'm also listening to podcasts about like breakups and how to deal with my pain and stuff. So regurgitating some other podcast. No, I'm kidding.
Podcast and then a podcast.
Yeah. Okay, so a big thing is understand that you're grieving. Give yourself the space to grieve. And be okay with the pain. And like, I don't enjoy pain. I don't have a high threshold for pain. I feel that something that's happening with me, and I don't think it's my profession, I feel it's more a maturing. And the fact that I'm like a good 10, 15 years older than you. There is a relationship with pain that is getting better for me. That's understanding that I can be in pain, and I miss him, and I'm in pain about this, and I feel that it's unfair. But I'm also doing the work I love, and the sun is shining, and I'm gardening, and I went to Midburn, and I went to Sinai, and I'm like doing all this cool stuff. So this ability to be like, on the one hand, I have days where I'm just sitting at home and I'm crying and I feel sorry for myself, and I indulge. I binge Netflix and I make my favorite pasta. And I'm there, and I love myself through that. I'm not kicking myself when I'm down and being like, no, you should. No, it's okay. I can grieve. I can be weak. I can spend the day not answering any phone calls and just like hibernating, you know, like burying myself. That's okay. But then a day or two later, I can also go to a party and celebrate and be truly happy.
And you're able to be present in that because you're present with yourself to feel the pain.
Exactly.
And like, because I feel like we put so much life force energy avoiding the pain.
Yeah.
And because of that, we just kind of run around the feeling. And we think that by running around the feeling and not actually diving into it, we're feeling the thing. Mm-hmm. But instead, we're just prolonging the process of that. And because you're not allowing yourself to fully dive into that, yeah. you can't fully enjoy the happiness or like the lighter moments that are awaiting for you.
A thousand percent. Right. And any spiritual, culture, everyone will tell you, you cannot avoid the pain.
Yeah.
You cannot avoid the emotion.
Yeah.
So we need to find new ways of working with it.
Right.
And a big one for me is working with the body.
Hmm.
So there's like the whole world of somatic experiences and somatic work, which I don't understand enough about to talk about. But there's something really potent about being with pain. And a lot of the time I used to be like, when I was in pain, especially emotional one, I used to be like, oh, poor me. My life sucks. I'm such a poor little Maya. Oh, things are so bad for me. I'm so unlucky. Like this kind of... this kind of mental, like, victimizing myself.
Right.
And to shift that around and be like, I'm experiencing pain. What does it feel like?
Yeah.
Is it tight in my chest? Is it stabbing in my tummy? Is it in my heart? Is it in my throat? I cry a lot. I cry so much. And I also, I cry in public.
Mm-hmm.
So like if I'm with my friends in Sinai and I'm having a really bad day, I will cry. And I will ask people to be okay with it. Like, I'm not inappropriate in spaces where people are freaking out. But, like, let's normalize crying.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Crying is an amazing outlet. It's such an amazing, beautiful tool for me. So, like, I'm very aware of energy.
Yeah.
So when does my energy want to come out and be released through crying? When is it an energy that wants a jog? When is it an energy of self-love and self-touch or self-pleasure? That's also really legit. When is it something that is asking... I spend a lot of time just in baths. I take a bath every day. It really calms me and calms
yeah.
my body and my soul.
Yeah.
So like find the things that are good for you. Allow the pain to come, which will also allow other things to come. And then... I also really believe in, like, yes, you want to try and communicate less with the person that you're breaking up with, but also for me, there's a lot of power in checking in every once in a while when both sides can, and seeing how we are.
Yeah.
Like, what does it feel? How does the distance between us feel? How does it feel to sit in a space and not be intimate? How does it feel to talk and know that I've missed out on the last 2 months of your life? How does it feel? Like, and I feel that it's a reality check also, because as long as we're not in touch with the person, with the pain, then we idealize
mm-hmm.
and we're only holding on to like some elements of the relationships. It's definitely not reality.
Yeah.
So actually meeting that person and actually having a conversation will sometimes show us reality and allow us to be more truthful. And then also maybe the last thing about around this is that, like, if I spoke about my mom and about a relationship that's ended, another really important thing to look at is like leaving a workplace or leaving a project that I really loved. And again, we want to be conscious. We want to have conversation. So at the end, a lot of participatory leadership is about mindfulness.
Yeah.
Is around presence. Is around really showing up and not just expressing myself, but being willing to hear. Am I willing to hear the disappointment of the people that I'm leaving? Am I willing to hear and to be witness and to potentially support people that are gonna pick up more work after I'm gone?
Yeah.
Like it's that extra consciousness when we can. We're not always able.
Yeah. And sitting here, like, hearing, just having this conversation with you, I'm thinking that
this is all just a process of maturing and like becoming an adult in life, because whether it's running away from a feeling as an example, that's something that I see those intense feelings as kind of like our inner kid, like the childlike and also the childish part of ourselves that's like screaming and kicking in the back seat, not knowing what to do with this big feeling. And our job as conscious adults now is to be the awareness that gets to see that and hold space for it and listen to it, but also not having it be the driving force in your life and not reacting to it, but like being the one that knows how to deal with it and how to reparent it based on like whatever tools it is that we're learning now. And so whether it is like closing out cycles or feeling the pain of a breakup or whatever it is, I really just feel like it's a process of, I feel like it's just like a process of owning, a process of growing up. And I've come to notice that I think a lot of us are just afraid to grow up because we don't want to lose that like pure part of ourselves. Mm-hmm. And maybe we're afraid of it for that reason. Mm-hmm. But thank you so much. Thank you so much for this. This is a beautiful talk.
You're very welcome, my love. And I think that humanity needs to grow up.
Yeah.
And taking responsibility for our feelings and the way they show up in the world.
Mm.
It's a big part of that.
Yeah, I agree.
And I wish everybody healing and, you know, let what die, what is dead, die.
Mm.
Let what is broken fall off. Understand that if you're going through crisis, often it's because something needs to shift.
Yeah.
And see what you're ready to let go of. And then, you know, do a little ceremony, burn something outside in a, in a clear and safe manner. Like, allow yourself and support yourself in whatever it is you're moving towards.
And I think that's like talking back to the mindfulness thing. It is being able to not like attach yourself like fully, being able to like, oh shoot, there's a whole thing. What were you just saying? I just totally forgot what I was gonna say.
Just let it go.
Let it
just
go.
Just let it go.
Just let it go.
It's gone.
I was just gonna say, yeah, I feel like that's like a huge part of this is just the mindfulness to observe everything. Oh, from curiosity.
Yes.
From curiosity, like back what you were saying, like with feelings, the pain and stuff. Checking in with your body means dropping the judgment and just getting curious of like, what am I physically feeling right now? And with the judgment being displaced and the judgment and the curiosity there, you're able to come at it from that adult place that's like ready to like hold space for this feeling, as opposed to criticizing it or shaming it or saying that it's not supposed to be there.
Yeah.
And that whole experience gets to flow through you way quicker with way more ease because you're not holding any restraint against it.
Mm. Completely. I completely agree. The last thing I might want to add to that is if you find yourself severely distressed, if you find yourself like feeling like you're going crazy, feeling like you're climbing up the walls, feeling that you're going like that things are too intense, seek help.
Yeah.
Like get support from a psychologist, from a therapist, from a coach, whatever. And it's also okay to like, I personally feel that like in really, really hard times, if you feel that you're depressed, if you feel that you're mentally unbalanced, then yes, also seek out like professional help.
Yeah.
Allow yourself to be supported.
Yeah.
In because we need our solid footing in order to do this work.
Yeah.
Like if I'm chemically unbalanced, no amount of soul searching or meditation is going to bring me back. That's how I understand it. Other people will say differently.
Yeah.
But like seriously, people, if you've been really depressed for a long time, or if different things of like mental health issues are coming up, please go and help yourself. You can
have a better quality of life and you deserve it.
Because also sometimes that support is necessary when going back to us reparenting that inner child troubled emotional self.
Mm-hmm.
Is sometimes we're not given the tools. We're not taught the tools. We grow up with parents who didn't have the tools themselves, and we need help now learning the tools that we can use to help get us on that track. And that's also totally fine if you need support from like a professional to give you those.
Completely.
Yeah. Maya, thank you so much for joining me. This was amazing.
Thank you. I'm healing for the world. Love. I'm healing for us all.
Okay, guys, so that was Maya Rime for episode 4. I'm just so happy to be sharing all of this with you guys. If you guys enjoy it, please like, subscribe, rate, put some comments, ask some questions. If you guys want to hear from another guest or have any questions that you want me to ask a future guest, please write those down as well. And any commentary, any good vibes are welcome here. I'll see you guys in the next episode. And again, thank you so much for this opportunity. Maya's information will be in the description box, so check that out if you guys want. And thank you guys so much for being part of this. Share it with your friends, share it with your loved ones, and I'll see you guys next time.